Manuscript Releases, Volume 2, Numbers 97 to 161. MR Number 151, Messages Regarding the Lodi School. Three addresses by Ellen G. White requested for use in connection with the preparation of a history of Lodi Academy. An address before the students and faculty of the Western Normal Institute, Lodi, California, by Mrs. E. G. White, November 7, 1909. I am glad to see so many before me this morning. I desire that every one of you shall be so related to God that everything you do here shall be done as viewing Him who is invisible. You can keep your minds fixed upon God. Every one of you must individually form a character after the divine similitude. I do not know how many of you have made a profession of Christianity, but I trust that while you are here as students, you will all give careful thought to this subject. You can choose whether you will have a hope that is confirmed in Jesus Christ, whether you will, during your attendance at this school, seek to prepare yourselves for the kingdom of God. In order to make it possible for you to have this advantage, Jesus Christ has given His precious life. If you do not avail yourselves of the privileges thus purchased for you, if through Christ you do not become partakers of the divine nature, you will, in the day of final reckoning, be found without excuse. Why do we have schools separate from the schools of the world? It is that our youth may receive an education in right lines, that they may understand what is involved in the great sacrifice that has been made in behalf of fallen humanity. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the believer in Christ becomes a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. As it has been presented to me, it is the purpose of our educational institutions to teach students how they may be partakers of the divine nature. This instruction is not to be passed by as of secondary importance. The value of the education received depends upon how the student relates himself to his subject. In our behalf, Christ has made a tremendous sacrifice. He laid aside His royal crown, He laid aside His royal robe, and came to this world, born of humble parentage. Many were not attracted by the humility of His life, and He was despised and rejected of men. He suffered persecution, until at length He was crucified and died a shameful death. What does this mean to us? He came as the Savior of every sinner that will accept of the divine sacrifice. He united in Himself divinity and humanity, that He might be the connecting link between fallen man and the Father. But will men accept of the conditions? Who of you will become partakers of the divine nature? There should be no delay in accepting Christ. You will be subject to temptations here. There are brought together here many of various ideas and temperaments. You have come from homes where you have received different molds of thought and education. Unless you are partakers of the divine nature, there is danger that you will lead one another to forgetfulness of God. It were better for you to have your right hand cut off than that you should lead one soul in a wrong direction. In your education, seek for those principles that will help you to form the best possible characters in this life, thus fitting yourselves for the future, eternal life. Now I will read a portion of the first chapter of 2 Peter. Notice who are addressed. It is those who have obtained something. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. This is our dependence. Through the merits of Jesus, you can be made clean and white in character if you consecrate yourselves to Him with a determined purpose that right here in this school you will live a Christian life. You are now forming characters that will determine your future destiny for life or for death. If there are those here that have never taken hold of Christ by living faith, I entreat of you to do this at the earliest possible moment, for you will suffer great loss if you neglect this. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through your ignorance? Through your acting like the world? Through the knowledge. Now, here is a knowledge that is worth more than silver or gold or precious stones. It is the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Then if you are lost, you will be left without excuse. The time is coming when your parents, if they have purified their lives by obeying the truth, will come up to the gates of the city of God, and the gates will open before them. Are their children preparing to enter with them? If the parents have worked out their own salvation with fear and trembling, if they have, in the fear of God, tried to help their children, their work will be accepted. But perhaps their children have refused to be helped and have chosen to follow their own inclinations. Will you not, as young people, act in harmony with the knowledge that you have received and join the army of believers to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Every one of you is called. Will you obey the call? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 4. If you try to fulfill the word, if you seek to do the will of God, you will have divine help. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, a virtuous character, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance in eating and in drinking, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, love. See verses 5 to 7. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verses 8 to 10. Here is a promise that is for every one of you. If you live on the plan of addition, adding grace to grace, you are growing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you may find in this promise an eternal life insurance policy. This is a promise that will stand the test. It is worth far more than any life insurance policy that can be purchased with money. It is a policy that has been provided by God Himself in giving His only beloved Son, that through belief in Him, through accepting of His great sacrifice, you may obtain everlasting life. Having gained the victory, you may enter in through the gates of the city of God and receive an immortal crown. Wherefore, says the Apostle, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Verse 12. Our profession of Christianity will not save us. We must be Christ-like. I desire that everyone in this school should form a character after the divine similitude, that you shall live upon the plan of addition, adding grace to grace. As you do this, you will be helping someone else. You will be giving an example that will be a help to those that are around you. You cannot afford to lose your interest in the great life insurance policy. There are here in this school young people of various character. There are some here of a light and trifling disposition, some who give very little heed to where they are standing spiritually. But we desire you to become decidedly in earnest in regard to your soul's salvation, for it means everything to you. And it means much to the school, how you shall conduct yourselves. If you will determine to lay aside all folly, all vanity, and all frivolity, you will thus be helping to elevate this school to the position that God would have it occupy. You cannot afford to follow the inclinations of your own unconverted minds and not try to obtain the victory that has been made possible for you through the sacrifice of Christ. We trust that you may see the King in His beauty. You will doubtless have difficulties to meet, but these difficulties are allowed to come to you, that by overcoming them, you may be strengthened to take up the work of God. There is missionary work to be done by everyone connected with this school. Through the grace of God, we are to reveal that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Will you not, by living consistent lives, show that you are living on the plan of addition? I feel an intense desire that you shall put away all frivolity, study your Bibles, read over and over the wonderful lessons that Christ has given to animate you, to strengthen you, and to aid you in spiritual growth. Why, it is a wonderful thing to escape the corruptions that are in the world through lust, yet that is possible if you will comply with the conditions. It rests with you whether or not you will do it. You may have to face grave difficulties, but it is your privilege to be so grounded in the truth that not even the severest persecution can turn you aside from it. What we need is a daily, living experience in the benefits to be derived by obedience to God. We are to encourage faith, to live by faith. This is our privilege, and if we do, then it is not in vain that Christ laid aside His kingly honors and came to this world to suffer and die. He will look upon the purchase of His blood and will be satisfied. In that day, the redeemed will cast their glittering crowns at the feet of their Savior, and all heaven will ring with songs of praise. May we all be partakers of the divine nature and be overcomers. I have tried to speak these words for your benefit, and now I will leave you to study this chapter for yourselves. May the blessing of the Lord rest upon you in the work you have to do, is my desire and prayer. Portion of a discourse by Mrs. E. G. White, Lodi, California, February 5, 1910. The end of all things is nearer than many of our people seem to realize. I wish that all might sense its nearness, for then they would be untiring in their efforts to warn others who have never heard the truths of the last warning message. A few are taking up the work here and there, but there is a vast field untouched, and as a people, we need to receive a large measure of the Holy Spirit, that we may feel an intense interest in those about us who are unwarned. It is a source of astonishment to me that with the Word of God before us, so many can rest at their ease. If God sent His Son into the world to suffer a shameful death that He might save souls, should not we, as His followers, be willing to labor and suffer for our fellow men? We need a deeper conviction in our hearts regarding the precious work before us. There is a large burden resting upon those who are connected with the school at this place, and we should all feel an interest in its success, an interest that will lead us to offer up our earnest petitions that God will greatly bless its work. Then, in harmony with our prayers, let us do all in our power to make the Lodi School a success. Last night, I felt a great burden in behalf of the many students that are gathered here, and I wrote out some things that I will read to you. There is a most urgent and important work to be done in our world by those who understand the messages that should be proclaimed to the people. There are many large cities in which but little has been done to warn the inhabitants of God's impending judgments. When will those who have the light of truth that the end is near at hand arise to a sense of the magnitude of their duty? Let there be no delay in the matter of securing for our children and youth a true education. As parents, we need great wisdom to know how to help the lambs of the flock. They need encouragement in their efforts to be obedient and to love righteousness. They should be given every possible advantage for the formation of characters that may be approved of God. We have encouraged the establishment of schools in various places, where the children and youth may have an opportunity to learn, in connection with their other studies, lessons of truth from the Scriptures. In these schools, the religious interests must be carefully guarded, for that is the purpose of their establishment. An understanding of the lessons of Christ is to be imparted to the students with clearness and solemnity. Such lessons will never be forgotten. Upon the older students in the school rests the responsibility of helping those who are younger. the older students can be a great help to their younger associates by setting a good example in pleasant words and actions, and by their influence outside of the school hours, that they may teach lessons of obedience, truthfulness, and respect to their instructors. The Lord looks with pleasure upon such helpful endeavor. When the students are out of doors, taking their exercise, or wherever they may be, let the older ones study how to speak encouraging words to the younger ones. If, in a pleasant manner, you correct the wrongs you may see in other youth, sometimes reading to them lessons from the life of Christ and presenting the requirements of the Word of God, you may assist greatly in correcting the irregularities that are always liable to occur in a large school. If you kneel down and pray with them, the angels of God will be present, and your interest in their behalf will be a converting power. Impress upon their minds the thought that the Lord beholds with pleasure their efforts to become obedient, and that His blessing will rest upon all who will do their best to overcome their faults. As you seek in every way possible to help and encourage the younger students to overcome, you yourself will be helped to overcome your own defects of character. You may be teachers in more ways than one. Your efforts to exert a helpful influence in the school will be a great help to the preceptors and teachers in their daily work. You may lift from them a heavy burden of anxiety that they have to carry for the many youth that are placed in their care. In such an experience, you will find a great blessing, and those who are willing to cooperate with the members of the faculty in maintaining a wholesome influence in the school will gain for themselves a most precious experience. When the teacher sees that you are trying to help him, his heart is greatly cheered. By setting a correct example yourselves, you may be a help to others in forming correct habits. The Lord will help everyone who shall seek to be an example of propriety. Let everyone feel that this school in Lodi is to be an example of what all our schools should be. That this may be so, let the students remember that their conduct must be of the right order. The older students especially should feel that upon them rests this responsibility to maintain for themselves a high standard of propriety, that they may exert an influence for good over those who are younger. What a blessing would result if, when they see another student doing something wrong, they would say to him, "That is not right. You cannot be happy if you pursue such a course as that," and then talk to him kindly. The Spirit of the Lord would manifest His presence in their hearts, and old and young would be restrained from doing wrong actions. Some of these younger ones need to be helped spiritually. Some of them need to be converted. Let this be a school where the students shall labor one for another, that the glory of God may be revealed. There is need in our schools of simple, godly religion. If this is manifest, there will be with the students, outside of school hours, a sense of the presence of the angels of God. Some, after they have been studying for a long time, are likely to become rough and boisterous in their recreations. Let the older students set an example of gentleness, carefully guarding their words and actions. A good example will be followed, as will a wrong example. You cannot afford to lead others in a wrong way. Let all the students hold up and strengthen the hands of the principal. Let him realize that you sympathize with him, that you are in harmony with his work, and he will be encouraged. Let the children feel that they are children of God, bought with a price. The Lord wants them to give their young hearts to Him. The teachers and the older students may help to bring these children to Christ. If you are ever ready to speak a word in season, the Spirit of God will carry your words to the heart. The Lord would be pleased to see the older students feel a large responsibility for the younger ones. God will use them as His instruments to influence other students to form right and correct habits that will keep them from doing wrong, even though they are not under the eye of the teacher. Our schools should be established in harmony with the religion of Jesus Christ, and our Sabbath-keeping students should be so firm to principle and should have such an understanding of what is right that they may be trusted. The teachers and the students should have for their diet wholesome, well-cooked food that will keep them in health. The diet must be correct if the health of the children is to be maintained. There should be also a line of physical instruction that will impart an understanding of how to care for the health. We should encourage the unseen powers of heaven to come to the assistance of the earthly powers, that in this school, as in every school that shall be established by our people, there may be a union with the divine. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us in all things, and if we respond to this guidance, we shall be able to show much more than we do now the spirit of true religion. If true and faithful and righteous in His service, we shall have a living connection with Jesus Christ. We shall be united with Him in the work. Sometimes teachers are burdened and do not know what to do because students are inclined to act wild, frivolous, and headstrong. But if you older students will help to influence these younger ones, there will be seen a difference in their behavior. If they are wild, try to help them out of their wildness. Do not scold them, do not become provoked at them, but try to help them into the right road, and the blessing of God will rest upon you. The Lord calls upon us to come into line. He wants us to work for one another. There is a heaven to win, and we cannot afford to be doing haphazard work now. We want to lay hold of every possible advantage that we may be fitted for instructors and missionaries to carry the message of salvation to the world. 5. 1910, 1-6. Words of Counsel to Advance Students, February 5, 1910. The Lodi School. There is much earnest work to be done in connection with the Lodi School. If those connected with this school will seek to understand their mission, and day by day will sanctify themselves, body, soul, and spirit to the Lord, wisdom will be given them. As a people, we have received most precious light upon Bible truth, and not all who have received this light know what it means to be laborers together with God. The Lodi School should have chosen workers, men of experience. The one who accepts the charge of this school will need to live in close connection with God. To the teachers in this school, I would say, read and explain the Word of God to your students. Never scold them. Frame your management according to a thus saith the Lord. Under wise teachers, the Lodi School may become an important missionary school, a daily blessing and benefit to those in attendance. And the training given at the school is to be upheld and complemented by the work of the parents. Thus, parents and teachers together can carry forward a good work. Our schools are established in the order of God, and parents are to cooperate with the teachers, saying to them, "We will act our part in the work by seeing that our children practice what is taught in the school." The efforts made in the home for the education of the children are to correspond with those made in the school. Every power that God has given parents is to be used in union with the plans that the school is carrying out to help the children to perfect Christian character. Parents, teachers, and children are safe only as they obey the words, "Ye are laborers together with God." Parents are to remember that, though while at school their children are separated from them, yet this does not release them from responsibility. They are to unite their prayers with those of the teachers for the success of the work done in the school. All are to act their part in the fear of God. The work done in our schools is an important work, and fathers and mothers should refrain from speaking words that would discourage their children in regard to their schoolwork. Let the children feel that their parents are willing to bear the expense of their schooling, if only they can see in them a desire to become better fitted to serve God, and a determination to overcome those traits of character that would hinder their growth in Christian experience. Parents, speak to your children the words of encouragement that they need. Let no coarse, rude, angry words be spoken. Show them that you are endeavoring to give them every advantage that they may obtain a knowledge that will lead them to an understanding of God's requirements. Plead with them to make the most of the opportunities granted to them in their school life. Parents are to act their part wisely and intelligently. They brought their children into the world, and did they realize the responsibility resting upon them? they would unceasingly carry a burden for these children. This is the will of God concerning you, even your sanctification. There must be a decided improvement in matters of discipline in some of our recently opened schools. The Lord calls upon the teachers to be laborers together with Him, that the fruit of righteousness may appear in the lives of the students. He calls upon parents to remember that the mind, the voice, the influence, all the powers are His gifts, to be used in winning souls to Christ. Thus, each family may become a missionary family. From the home, the school, and the church, a holy influence is to go forth. The grace of Christ is to be received into the life and revealed in the character. Released May 1963.